Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Friday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Alvin, I'm not even going to ask for it today. You know what I need. You know what I want. It is a wild day and a wild weekend. Welcome to the jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is championship weekend. It is a getaway day. It is the Friday program. Lots to get done. It is good to be here. How you feeling? I feel great. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I've got three interviews and the return of the big head, the flight deck, James Kelly. He'll be in studio later on. I've got Alvin's week that was, and I've got a lot to get to. So the reason I bring that up off the very top is if you want to get in here, you want to do it right now. You're not going to have many opportunities. This show is loaded, absolutely loaded. Call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, it sets up like this. Open phones right now. First interview is at 40 past. MLB Network radio broadcaster, former major leaguer, CJ Nikowski. And I know he'll have thoughts on the gambling. Check that. Well, the gambling scandal involves James Kelly. It's not really a scandal, but it is gambling. The cheating scandal, though, CJ will be all over, and we'll have that at 40 past. Coming up in hour number two, Packers will be represented ahead of the NFC Championship game. Aaron Jones, Packers running back, one of the big three offensive weapons on that team, will be by 10:20 Pacific time. In hour number three, we're going to preview McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone, Kevin Ioli. Yahoo Sports MMA and boxing reporter will join me then. Bottom of hour number three, Alvy's week that was. The Dex picks, if you're waiting on that, probably an hour or two. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, please. And if you don't mind, can you get over to my Instagram page? Give me a little bit of love there. I'll try and shoot some picks when I'm in Kansas City this weekend.
Instant chat.
Instagram. Face Instant chat. Face snap. And email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, starting with baseball. You know, one of the raps about baseball has been that only the postseason is really exciting. It's like the only thing that's really worth our time. From mid-September, when teams are battling to get in, through the end of October, when there's a world championship at stake, that's the best time for baseball. Except the other 10 and a half months out of the year, it's boring. Nothing that matters ever happens. That's the rap. It's a pretty fair rap, too. Or at least it was until about a week ago. Not anymore. MLB clearly is out to prove everybody else wrong this time around. Because pretty much everything that has happened off the field this January would equal or surpass anything that actually happened on the field. Because right now, when it comes to breaking news or general insanity, every other league is now chasing Major League Baseball. No other sport is in baseball's class. Think about this. Think about this week alone. The GM and the manager of the 2017 World Series and 2019 AL champs were suspended and then fired. The team was stripped of four draft picks and fined $5 million as the result of an MLB investigation. Also, the manager of the 18 World Series champs was fired before the results of that particular investigation even came in. He got fired before then. And then yesterday, the Mets announced that Carlos Beltran would be stepping down as manager for his role in that scandal. This guy was gone before he managed a single game. Grand opening, grand closing. Fired before he even filled out his first lineup card. I mean, that is not easy to do. 10% of MLB's managers are gone in a single week. Pitchers and catchers are reporting in less than 4 weeks. And three serious teams, well, two serious teams and the Mets, do not have managers. The Beltran news, while not exactly unexpected, was only the start, too. Because shortly after that broke, everybody lost their damn minds. Here are a couple of tweets, starting with this. Quote, "I'm told to stay quiet, but I refuse. Sorry, T-Ho. Jose Altuve and Bregman wore devices that buzzed on inside right shoulder from hallway video guy. Let's get it all out now. Quote, here's another. I have pictures from locker I will keep for a rainy day. Altuve didn't want shirt torn off, if I remember. Maybe I misspoke, but Chapman gave up the home run in that game. End quote. All right, now those tweets allegedly came from Carlos Beltran's niece. And then people, again, immediately lost their collective bleep. Everybody went all Zapruder film on the Altuve home run off Aroldis Chapman that won the ALCS. They broke down his run around the bases and what appeared to be something under the jersey, and then his explanation for why he did not want to tear it off.
You asked the teammates not to tear your shirt. Why?
What's that?
Did you ask your teammates not to tear your shirt? Why was that?
I don't know. I'm too shy. Last time they did that, I got in trouble with my wife.
All right, so theories were flying about as to why Altuve did not want his shirt torn off, why he told his teammates not to do it, and the fact that he appeared to go into the dugout or the clubhouse before putting on a championship t-shirt. And then you've got the theories involving a photo of Josh Reddick with something on his chest. The way Twitter was going, you would think these guys were covered in buzzers and electrical nodes, half robot, half hitting machine. You know, kind of like that cyborg tiger. Tiger! What if somebody accidentally hit Altuve with a bucket of water? Would he have been electrocuted? I mean, it was wild. Completely and totally wild. And then people around the game, some more connected to it than others, started to claim that it lined up with things they had heard before. A lot of people were claiming that there were multiple sources who told them about this stuff for a while, and that Carlos Beltran's niece was finally just backing it all up. And because there are a few things more compelling than a conspiracy theory on social media, the whole thing just blew up. Finally, baseball Twitter became an actual thing. Baseball Twitter. You keep this up for another day or two, and baseball may once again become our national pastime because it was already replaced as our national pastime. Not by football, but by people losing their collective minds on Twitter. That's your new national pastime. But baseball Twitter was coming fast. Baseball Twitter got nice. Baseball fans on Twitter went full bulletin board with red string connecting screenshots, videos, theories, you name it. It was up there, and everybody was eating it up. And man, if that was the case, that was incredible. If that really went down like that, that is amazing. If that's true, Carlos Beltran's niece had exposed maybe the greatest, boldest, most incredible, most insane cheating scandal, not just in baseball, but in any sport. Cycling had nothing on that. Every Russian athlete ever had nothing on that. Guys on the Astros marching up to the plate with buzzers attached to their bodies and somebody buzzing them to let them know what pitch was coming. That is either the most bat bleep crazy conspiracy theory ever, or it is the boldest, brashest, coolest cheating scandal ever. I mean, seriously, what is more audacious than that? Seriously, banging on trash cans in a stadium full of people cannot believe how bold it would be to wear a buzzer at the plate. That is so next level. So much so that I can't lie. I actually kind of respect it. Like, why try to steal signs from second base when you can rock a buzzer on your body that signals the pitch? It's so much cleaner. It's so much more efficient. Who needs a trash can if you got a buzzer that lets you know everything? And listen, don't get this part twisted either. Don't come up in here and tell me that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing in all sports to do. That you still need to be able to put a bat on the ball, even if you do know what's coming. That it's not that big of an advantage. Wrong answer. If true, it is an enormous advantage. That's not just, you know, an athlete looking for any kind of edge they can get. An athlete working for any kind of little angle. Man, that is flat out cheating to the nth degree. And it would help a lot. It would be an enormous advantage. You don't believe me? Ask Dodgers pitcher Alex Wood. Woody said, quote, I would rather face a player that was taking steroids than face a player that knew every pitch that was coming, end quote. 100%. I see you working, Alex. I agree with that. At least with a guy who's juicing, you can fool them. With a guy who's buzzing, you cannot fool them. If true, it does rip right at the integrity and the fabric of the game. Not my take. Don't come at me like, hey, boomer. Don't come at me like that. Cody Bellinger said it. He tweeted, quote, for the sake of the game, I hope this isn't true. If true, there needs to be major consequences to the players that completely ruins the integrity of the game, end quote. And then this tweet from Marley Rivera of ESPN, quote, the Beltran family told me that this individual who claims to be Beltran's niece is not related to the family in any way. This person may or may not have additional information about the Astros sign-stealing scandal, but they are not related to the Beltrans. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me somebody was posing as Carlos's niece on Twitter? Yeah, you tell me what's more bizarre. Carlos's niece blowing open this scandal on Twitter, or somebody pretending to be his niece on Twitter. I mean, was this really Ronnie T who had been up to this all along?
Hey, babe, I'm just calling to say good night.
Good night.
I love you.
I love you too.
I know that you're probably doing homework or you're with the boys or grabbing me. What a fatty. But I just want to say I love you and good night, and I'll be okay tonight. I'll do my best. Yeah, so get dressed, and I will talk to you tomorrow. I love you so much, hon. Sweet dreams.
I love you so much, hon. Hey, one more thing. Let's try this buzzer out. Yeah, like, there have been so many record scratches in this story. The record's just shattered. Now it's broken in half. I mean, who would pretend to be Carlos Beltran's niece on Twitter? And does the fact that this person is not the niece, apparently, mean that the information is wrong? And if it's not his niece, who is it? Some jackwagon sitting in his basement with nothing better to do? Or could it be a major league player? Like, there is so much in this take. There is so much to this story and so much in this take. And if you think it only involves the Astros and only involves buzzers and only involves the relative of a player who weighed in and that was a fake niece, you're wrong. There is so much more to this, because once the floodgates opened up yesterday, there were more teams, there were more allegations, there were more baseball relatives. Like, I still am not sure on what's true and what's not. I really hope this is not true, but if it is, you'd have to smash anybody who had been doing it, because it does speak to the integrity of the game. And two, this is important too. If somebody did it or people did it, then they probably lied to investigators who asked them whether or not they did it, because baseball says they couldn't find any evidence of it. So if that's the case, you're a liar, not a felon, but a liar. And the cover up is always worse than the crime. And from a baseball standpoint, it's a pretty heinous crime. I've got a lot more on this. A lot more on this still. In the meantime, you can hit me up with your reaction. I mean, this stuff is wild. Carlos Beltran's niece. What's next? Alex Cora's great uncle? AJ Hinch's distant cousin from his mom's side? Or I got it. Jeff Luno's wife? Wife's third grade teacher's burner account? Man, who the hell knows? I just know this. Baseball's never been better. Baseball has never been more interesting. So, like, I really hope it's not true, but I can't lie to you. I really hope it is true. Buzzers in the batter's box. This is so good. It's like the Milgram experiment. Damn, that's a blast from the past. Stanley Milgram, ring a bell? That's just something I read about in my freshman year in college, I think. All right, when we come back. Believe it or not, I spent the entire open on that. I've got a whole nother take on that. Like that, you can't cover that whole thing in one segment or one take. So a lot more of that came from NFC Championship game, AFC Championship game, the Flight Deck's picks. Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon. It's a getaway day. I'm going to Kansas City tonight. It's a good, good week, good day, good weekend. In short, it's all good.
The new year is about growth and change. So if you're a business owner and you're looking to grow your business, LinkedIn can help you find the right hires that can set you up for a strong year. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for so you can hire the right person quickly. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. That's how LinkedIn makes your job post. It's seen by people that you want to hire. People with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder that a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. Every 8 seconds. And why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. I am on that site every single day. You can pay what you want. Get the first $50 off. Just visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. LinkedIn.com/Rome. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, LinkedIn.com/Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Sorry about that, y'all. Got a few issues in our house. A few technological issues in our house. And by a few technological issues in our house, I mean nothing here works. Cowboy Conor McGregor weighing today. Conor's fighting at a higher weight. We'll get into that a little bit later on. It is time to ask the pros, where you get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question there, listen later on in the program, and I might answer yours. In the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Once again, I'm looking for your telephone calls. 1-800-636-8686. It's never too soon to start thinking about the smack off. And I feel like we have not given away a golden ticket in a long, long time. That'd be a great thing to do on a Getaway Friday. Maybe you've been listening, thinking you could do better than what you hear. Today would be a good day to prove it. In fact, there's so many good angles, so many good topics. AFC Championship. NFC Championship. Conor McGregor back. Biggest cheating scandal in baseball maybe ever, and it could get worse before it gets better. Today is a good day to call the program. Checking out the early email. This one reads, Flight Deck, Flight Deck, Flight Deck. Sincerely, everyone, Bill and Lincoln. Normally, you clones cannot wait to rush in and kill anybody on the other side of the glass, as well as my side of the glass. And then I let the flight deck in, and y'all love the guy. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And then he made his picks, and I knew that could change. You all loved him until he made his picks. And then you watched those picks play out. He went 2-2. He did well enough to earn a second spot here. So we will get to that next hour. Dear Rome, if you'd like me to come on to discuss baseball cheating, I am free for the third hour. Please have your lady bookers give me a call. Signed, Scott Brocious's son, Brian and Charlotte. Two things there. They are not the Lady Bookers. We do not refer to them as such. Number two, that's part of the problem. Like I said, you had Carlos Beltran's niece, allegedly, and then you had Scott Brocious's son, allegedly, making some wild claims of his own. And then what do you know? His social account magically disappeared, too. Hey, Rome. We all know those buzzers are a piece of crap, and they never work the way they should. Signed, those losers on Jeopardy who knew the answer but got screwed by that clicker. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, wore outside sales. Wore the ump patting down the Astros before each plate appearance. Like the TSA, right? That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great if they patted guys down or made them walk through like a metal detector from the on-deck circle? You'd have to walk through a metal detector. Or maybe they hit you with a little sponge before you get in the batter's box. You have to put your bat in the conveyor belt. You have to take off your cleats and your belt
and your cope and your bat. Put them all on the conveyor belt, run them through, and then walk through the metal detector. And you got to leave all your liquids there. You got to leave your belt with the TSA. And then if you walk through it twice or three times to keep setting it off, they say, sir, stand over here, please. Hey, Jose, stand over here, please. And then if you go around the bases and you get around second base, you go rushing back. Oh, damn, I forgot my lapper. Then they make, and trust me, I speak from experience, if you forget your lapper, then they make you go to a website and monitor said website for like 9 months. Prove it's yours. Yeah, your password doesn't work. Now it's ours. It's not yours. Let's do this the right way. If we're going to do this, man, let's do it. And then I wonder if like you can pay $200 a year and get clear. So like if you're a Bregman or Altuve, you can get up from the on-deck circle,
you are now free to move about the
not have to go through all that line and security, and just either put your thumbprint down or look into that little eye detector, and they'll jump you right to the batter's box. I wonder. And I wonder, like, when you go play in Canada, if you play the Blue Jays, if you got to get there to the on-deck circle 2 hours early for an international flight. Now we're getting somewhere. Or how about this? How about this? Does every major leaguer have to go to the DMV to get the so-called real ID? Just know this. Also, I speak from personal experience. I did this back in, I want to say December. I'm still waiting for mine. I did it in December. Yeah, that's real. That's a real long wait for that real ID. Games are going to take so much longer. MLB is so pissed. Can you just imagine? And when you reach up in the on-deck circle in the to the overhead compartment, and somebody's laptop comes out and conks you in the head. That happened last year when I was on a flight to New York. It was amazing. Somebody reached up, and a laptop came out, and it cracked this woman. I'm not kidding you. Those flight attendants were up in her business the entire five-hour flight. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Is there anything you need? Is there anything you need? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just wish that was a MacBook instead of a Windows machine. My head hurts. I think I'll have some more champagne. Yeah, can you bring me some caviar? I'm a little sore. I can't wait. Like I said, serious note, I really, really hope that this is not true. But a part of me really, really hopes that this is true. Buzzer technology at the plate. Amazing. Rome Slice. I wear a buzzer every day on my hand. Regards, office prank guy. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Wore squirting flowers and rubber chickens. Man, that is the greatest thing. Because every office has one, right? The guy who rocks the carnation. And isn't there always that one dope who's like, hey, man, beautiful carnation, isn't it? Hey, man, come on in for a sniff. You'll like this. Psst! Works every time. Every office has got one. Like Rit. Rit's the guy rocking the carnation. And Hawk's like, hey, Rit, good flower. You think so, bro? Check it out. Psst! Stucknut's in. I don't want to be that guy. But Rit is wearing an electronic device, and I think he's trying to steal vital signs.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
It's lit!
Rit's doing that, and he's clapping feverishly, trying to get the lights to go on. Oh, I didn't make it to the staircase. I couldn't ride that chair down the staircase. Oh, where are my Skittles? Anyway, when we come back, CJ Nikowski joins us, eager to talk to him about the cheating scandal in baseball. That's next segment. In addition to that, I'm looking for your telephone calls. So far, so good on the email. So far, so good on Twitter. I will be in chilly Kansas City this weekend. The NFL on CBS has a special 2-hour pregame show. Drew Kalisky emailed me and said, Jim,
Dress warmly. It is cold here.
California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. As I mentioned, it has been a wild week. Wild week. Nice to have you here. We are joined right now by a 10-year MLB vet. He was the ninth pick overall in the 1994 draft. A broadcaster for the Texas Rangers, host on MLB Radio. And given that I am traveling this weekend, I'm very happy to say and to know he is still America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. He is CJ Nikowski. CJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. You know, now that I work for the Rangers, my exposure to public travel has gone down a little bit. I still have it, but I fly with the team a lot when I'm with them, so I don't get nearly as much as I used to compared to when I was working at Fox.
Yeah, I got three letters for you, MBN. Must be nice. Must be nice. But but I know you'll get like the rest of us, CJ, and when you do, you'll dial us back in.
All right.
So what a crazy week it's been. There's been so much going on in baseball this week, and there are a lot of different places to start. But take me back. What was your first reaction when you first heard the allegations that the Astros were using video monitors and trash cans to signal pitches to the batter?
Yeah, the allegations didn't surprise me as much. I mean, players will try anything, and the idea of what technology you have available and using that to your advantage is not that surprising. It's a little brazen, right? The idea of using a trash can and using a sound to have that signal. Usually, right, it's a runner at second base who can then relay signs, or maybe a coach at first or third base that might be able to relay signs. It's a little bit riskier, a little bit tougher because you don't have nearly as much time. But the idea of getting the signs to the hitter without anybody on base and using a loud sound to do it. Like, there's been accusations over the years and even going back to me during the 90s and early 2000s about teams and a light being out in the outfield somewhere that only the players knew where it was. And they'd look for it. If they saw that light go on, they knew it was a fastball. Those kinds of things have always been kind of rumored. But we've never had evidence like this, and we've never had an organization get as ballsy as this by using a trash can, something that everyone could hear if they had any idea what was going on.
You've got the trash can, and then, of course, you've got buzzer technology, if in fact that exists. You tweeted yesterday, this scandal, quote, has cost three managers their jobs, at least one executive his, numerous high-round draft picks, millions in salary, two tainted World Series. The damage done by the decision to cheat and then cheat again is absolutely jaw-dropping. The inner circle of scandal ruined lives, end quote. It's a really strong tweet. Just how bad is this for baseball?
Yeah, I mean, it's brutal for the game. I think the good news is that, you know, every time something comes up like PEDs, like with, you know, amphetamines, and we've had to go through these periods where they're rough gambling situations, we always come out of it. And it was just time to get things cleaned up. And so Mike Fiers decided to go ahead and make that happen. But, you know, the collateral damage is significant. And I think about guys like A.J. Hinch, who didn't participate but didn't stop it. Right, so he gets suspended for a year without pay. He loses 1 year of salary. They fire him, and I don't know the details of his contract, but they may have just cause in there not to have to pay him at all. He had 3 years left on his deal. I mean, that's upwards of potentially around $9 million for him that is lost. And it wasn't like he was a player that made a ton of money during his career. I mean, that's significant for him if that ends up being the case. And you know, it's just, that's the part that gets really shocking. And Alex Cora, you know, same situation, a couple of years left on his contract. Carlos Beltran doesn't even make it to spring training. And who knows if he'll ever manage again. I know he's fine. He's done really well for himself. But he said he only wanted to manage in New York and was waiting for that opportunity to come up. He turned down opportunities to interview other places. And so for a guy that seemed like he had the passion to manage but kind of on his terms, may never get that opportunity now because of what happened. So it's significant damage that'll last for a while. I think this is one that we'll talk about for a long time.
We're talking to CJ Nikowski. I'm going to go back to Mike Fiers in a minute, CJ, but what about the managers you mentioned? In your opinion, do the punishments for Hinch, Cora, and Beltran, do they fit their crimes?
You know, the Beltran one was tough for me. I didn't feel strongly about him losing his job. It was interesting that the Mets said that they were blindsided by the fact that he was in the report and they had never broached the subject with him. That's surprising, I think, to everybody that has been kind of watching this, that it never came up. He did lie to the media, which is, you know, I understand why he did it. You know, you don't have to tell the media the truth, but if you're going to lead an organization, you do. And I think the idea that that was his first reaction is probably what cost him that opportunity, especially in that market. It's 1 year for Hinch as far as the suspension goes. I mean, he could be managing again theoretically in 2021. I don't think it's going to happen, but it was a 1-year penalty. I was a little stiffer than I expected. I thought it was going to be a couple of months, and know, good for Rob Manfred, because if it was just a couple of months and he was managing that team in June, I don't know how much of a deterrent that really would have been. You know, and Alex Cora is not done yet. He got fired or let go, or they, you know, they used the, you know, parting ways, and it was mutual. But he still has to face his punishment. They still have to finish up that Red Sox investigation. He very well may get 2 years. And so it was heavy-handed. I know some people are saying it's too light. I felt like it was pretty heavy-handed, but Rob Manfred certainly made his point.
CJ Nikowski joining us. All right, so what about Fires? He's taken some heat in some corners, and not a little either, for speaking out.
Yeah.
What do you think of how he handled it?
You know, this thing was so big in the end that I think it's okay that he did it that way. I understand, you know, people say clubhouse culture, and I get it. I think clubhouse culture had to lead with A.J. Hinch not saying anything just because of the clubhouse culture, even though he was the manager, not to say anything and tell players that they couldn't do something. I know a lot of fans are upset. He waited till he left. I was talking to a former player today who seemed really upset about it and said, screw him. You know, why didn't he say anything when he was getting support, run support from these guys that were cheating at the time? You know, you go on the other side and you see your team getting beat, or you see young guys struggling to keep their head above water. They're already a really good team. And knowing that they have that kind of advantage, it seems like that, from what we can gather, was kind of pulling at him. And that's why he decided to say something. This was a big deal. This wasn't something small. This wasn't, hey, heads up, they're really good at relaying signs, and, you know, just make sure you guard your signs a little bit better. I mean, this was pretty sinister as far as the way that they did it and the depths that they went to make it happen. I don't have a problem with him saying anything. I don't know if I would have felt differently when I had the uniform on, or if I was a member of the Astros. I'm sure if I played for them at the time, I probably would be upset with him that he did it. So I get that side of the argument, but I don't have a problem that he went public with it, right? If he doesn't go public, this thing ends up being a column from an anonymous source, and it probably dies. And everything continues the same, and everyone still has their job. And while I wish everyone had their job, the fact of the matter is that they made a bad decision that led to them getting fired and suspended, and that's probably better for the game.
So obviously it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. In relative terms, for instance, how does this compare to the PED scandal?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It was interesting. Alex Wood tweeted out that he would rather face a player on steroids than one that knew every pitch it was coming. And I had to think about that one for a little while because, you know, the PED stuff gave you such a physical but also a mental advantage, the confidence and less fatigue over the course of a full season. And I'm kind of back and forth on it a little bit, but I get what he's saying. And the idea that it's probably worse, I don't know. You know, the thing with PEDs, they're illegal, right? I mean, people say, oh, they weren't, you know, baseball didn't have rules at the time. Well, it's still illegal, right? You weren't allowed to buy steroids. That was always illegal. So you had to break the law to take PEDs, which was, you know, kind of a big deal. And we got some of our, you know, greatest records that have now been ruined, right? Nobody has ever broken even Roger Maris's record that didn't take PEDs, right? That still kind of stinks for our game. Like, I hate that part of our game. So the historical factor, maybe PEDs is a little bit worse. But this one, it's close. I mean, it's definitely right up there. And as far as the actual offense, you know, player to player, this one might be worse.
All right, so what about that? Like, if you're a batter, how much of an edge is there if you were tipped off to what was coming, either by a trash can lid or a buzzer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the idea of the paranoia when you hear that you might be tipping pitches.
Yeah.
For pitchers, I mean, it completely freaks you out. You've seen it. It comes up all the time these days because, you know, hitters are really good at kind of detecting and watching and looking for tells, and that's a real thing. And then take a guy like Aroldis Chapman, right? The guy that Jose Altuve hit the home run against and ended up eliminating the Yankees from championship series this year and sending them home. I don't think the Band-Aid thing is real. We'll see. There's just no real evidence behind that right now. But the idea that you could eliminate one of Aroldis Chapman's pitches, right? When you're dealing with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or a really nasty slider, and you can stand in the box with confidence knowing that fastball is not coming, you can sit on the slider, that's a big deal. And it's probably a bigger deal now in today's game because we have so many power arms. Like, these guys are so good and throw so hard. So if you can eliminate something or sit on something, you know a fastball is coming, and this guy sits 95 to 100, you're feeling a lot better and a lot more confident and get zoned in. So it's a huge deal for hitters.
CJ Nikowski joining me for a few more moments. Expertly done, as always. All right, so what about the suggestion, CJ, that technology is the real problem here? In your mind, is technology the problem?
No, because I think you could have done this 25 years ago, right? You could have set up a camera in the outfield. Now, the camera would have been a lot bigger and clunkier, and you wouldn't have gotten an HD back in your clubhouse. It would have been a monitor that's 10 times heavier than every other monitor and bigger, but you could have done it. The technology, for me, at least as far as what the Astros did and what we know they did, I don't think is the issue. I do think the idea of the replay room and hitters going back and watching at-bats throughout the game, that probably needs to go away. When you have that opportunity, you know, you may pick up something inadvertently, right? You might be going back to watch, you know, one of your at-bats that you're a DH and you get to go back afterwards and you're watching your at-bat from the first inning and all of a sudden you notice something that maybe the pitcher's tipping or you can pick up a sign or you see something that gives you an advantage. That probably shouldn't happen. So that replay room needs to be separate from the clubhouse and needs to be closed off, in my opinion. Come game time and you want to go look at your at-bats, you can do it after the game and make your assessment for there from there. But just the idea of accessing video in real time probably needs to be completely shut down. But, I mean, the other technology, some people have a tendency to lump it all together. Like what we're doing with pitchers and hitters and the measurements that they can take and these cameras that they have, the things that are called Rapsodo and TrackMan and other things, none of that was used in cheating, and you couldn't use that stuff necessarily to cheat. So that's moved the game forward in a big way, and that had nothing to do with this and shouldn't go away.
And then let me finally ask you this then. How prominent, if you had to guess, how prevalent do you think it is? For instance, were the Astros and Red Sox the only teams cheating like this, allegedly, or are they the only ones who've been caught so far?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I really missed on the steroid one. You know, when people started throwing that 50% number around, I was like, no, there's no way. And then over the years, I'm like, you know what, maybe it was at least that and maybe even higher. I always have a tendency to want to be optimistic and give people the benefit of the doubt, which you end up losing on more often than not. But I would say, you know, it's hard to put a number on it. You know, the question is not so much about cheating, but are you going, you know, or stealing signs, but are you going above and beyond? Rob Manfred issued that statement, told all the teams, you cannot use electronics to cheat. We've seen teams try, which is a problem. You can't pick up the replay phone and call up to the replay room and ask a question that's not regarding replay. And so little things like that certainly had happened. I will tell you that it was probably about five years ago, I was calling a game in Cleveland, and Justin Verlander was pitching against the Indians in Cleveland. Nobody on base, and he was using multiple signs. And so I just brought up on the broadcast, it was a national Fox broadcast, and said, listen, he's doing that because he's suspicious of something in the stadium. I'm not saying they did anything, but those kind of suspicions are real. And they obviously were to Justin Verlander, and he was taking no chances. He didn't come out and say that he thought they were cheating. It was just more precautionary for him, and he was probably going off of something that he had heard in the past or something that he experienced that threw him off a little bit. So, you know, players, especially pitchers, are always a little bit curious, but to put a number on it is tough. But it's probably more than just these two teams. It's like anything, man. Like, you know, there's a bunch of guys that got away with taking steroids, and it's a terrible advice, but the reality is if you're going to cheat, just don't get caught.
Exactly, and these guys got caught. He is a 10-year MLB vet. He was the ninth pick overall in 1994. He is a broadcaster now for the Rangers. He's the host of MLB Radio. And CJ, charter or not, I don't care. You will always be America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. You're my guru, my go-to. So don't forget it. That's a responsibility that you need to live up to still.
Oh, I know. Don't let me steer you wrong. I still have plenty of commercial flights, just not nearly as many.
Good. I like it. CJ, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Great
thanks,
job.
Jim.
Really well done. CJ Nikowski. All right, so your thoughts on that. We will come back. Hour number two. Buzzer technology. Is it a real thing or not? And I'll tell you what is a real thing. Buzzer technology may or may not be, but baseball Twitter is. And it was good. Like I said, normally with baseball, the rap has been, it's only good for the postseason. In the weeks leading up to the postseason and the postseason, but the other 10 and a half months out of the year don't mean anything to anybody in baseball. Not anymore. It is wild. Absolutely wild. All right, when we come back, we go into hour number two. In that second hour, a conversation with Packers running back Aaron Jones. A conversation with the flight deck, James Kelly. He's got his thoughts on the championship games in the NFL. And also on Conor McGregor making his triumphant return to the Octagon. Stay tuned.